Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 9 recap of what a crazy episode of Survivor Winners at War. And honestly, I think that might be the first like real episode that kind of lived up to the craziness we expected from this season. There's been a lot of great gameplay and a lot of aggressive gameplay that's gone on in this season, but this felt like the first time that we got one of those, this is just too absurd, it has to be Survivor Winners at War. Idols at Tribal Council, Alexa. Wow.
How long have we been wanting this? I wanted that so, so badly to be true. And he made a great point with the flirt. First of all, it's a fleur-de-lis, Adam. The fleur-de-lis was killing me. But you like, this was, there's so much build up to this. Adam was always looking around in that Tribal Council room, always looking for something. And oh man, I wanted that to be true because the idea of an idol at Tribal Council seems so, so cool. I thought they were going to follow through with it. But when you heard that clunk and then poor Adam, Jeff just has to lay it on him. He's like, just to clarify, you want to play this thing that you can't take off for yourself. He just had to ruin him for it. But
imagine if Jeff says this is an idol. Like, imagine if after all that trolling, it really was. Obviously, it wasn't going to be. But I'll tell you what, if you're getting ready to play season 41, which who knows when you're actually flying out, if you're getting ready to play season 41, it's probably not going to be there. But the reaction that Survivor's about to get from the fact that Adam even tried this might be a game changer on another level. Because Adam, that whole cupboard thing behind him, I guarantee you in season 41, if there's something that looks like that, there is going to be an immunity idol hitting there, or at least something that resembles a hidden immunity idol. Because don't think Survivor didn't know coming into this season that production, your idols look like a fleur-de-lis, and then also that is a fleur-de-lis. Like, don't think that production doesn't realize these things. They are designing and they're trying to make, and I know for a fact that Adam is going to get shit on this whole week because Adam was not one of the loved winners coming onto the season as it was, and he looked like a fool tonight. But I'll tell you,
yeah, what,
you never should get like annihilated in the Survivor community for going for it, because Adam, first of all, was the star of every single episode he was in this season. He made the first half of the season. We'll see what happens in the second half, but he made the first half of the season. And you know you're going home. You can feel it there. Get desperate. Who cares? You have nothing to lose. And anybody who's always made an ass out of himself by going up to get the thing, you have the opportunity to make an ass out of yourself just by going on Survivor. You have an opportunity to make an ass out of yourself every time you tweet. Like, I do not fault him at all. You go for it. You play big. And you know what? This is going to be something that gets incorporated into the game. Why not incorporate it on an all-winter season? You know, he's probably thinking that. And if you know you're going home, which it was so obvious he was going home, go for it. There's nothing to lose. You literally have nothing to lose at all. I loved it.
And I do too. And I think, I mean, you know, the jury kind of laughing at him and everyone kind of laughing at him for going for it. That, I mean, you see the jury immediately when he gets there, they're like, man, if you had got, like, if that was real, it's like the JT and the Russell Idol thing. Like, Adam looks silly, but the if you're going to criticize Adam, that is the absolute last thing to criticize him for. There's plenty other we can talk about, but that was not it. You gotta go for that. And he's the only person who thought of that. Nobody else thought of that. So absolutely love the move. But man, there must be no lonelier feeling than getting in a fight with your older brother who absolutely kicks your butt. And then you ask the rest of your siblings if they still love you. And they sit there and they stare at dad and hope that you start voting. Yikes. I think that was as awkward as shown.
That was the most awkward part of that episode. And one of the more awkward parts of a Survivor episode that also wasn't like harmful, like just awkward and like an awkward, like, you feel Adam's pain there. And I love that they lingered on it and let it really drag out. But I love that they let that drag and drag and drag. And look, again, though, like, he knew going into that tribal council, he was going home. And anybody who doesn't think he knew, remember last time, he knew it was between him and Wendell. Adam is a very good at reading people. He went into that knowing he was going home. He had to get desperate. He had to try to cause trouble. And he did try to cause trouble. And whether he causes that trouble or not, the result was going to be the same, but he at least had to try it, you know, because in season 38, Julia Carter goes home when she had nothing to do with anything. She just goes home because I forget who it was, but they start causing the drama. They get up and start talking. You never know what can change when you do that.
And that's the thing. And I think it was you who said this, and, you know, I was watching my parents and they were like, what the hell is going on? And I was like, I don't know, but Adam and Ben fighting is going to get one of them voted out because they, correct me here, because I don't know who voted for who. They like almost had the time to split the votes in the amount of time that those two were arguing with each other. I don't know who the two to Nick were. Do you know that? Is that up on Wikipedia yet?
Let me pull it up and see. But yeah, I think what this solidifies, and this is not a knock against Ben, but I think that this tribal council solidifies that Ben's not like, and look, like, Ben probably wasn't getting like the winner's edit anyway. But I think that this really does solidify that he is not going to win this game. Like, just the way he was, even at the beach, it didn't seem like a good look for Nick. And if he was, or for Ben, and if he was going to win this season, I think that they would have shown him in a better light or just all around cut that scene. They do not have it up yet, so I guess they don't know yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. But yeah, I mean, look, somebody just put in here, who cares, try anything for $2 million. That's my thing. Like, if it's between moving up one spot for a 1 in 10 chance of winning $2 million rather than a 1 in 11 chance of winning $2 million, you better believe I'm going to go up there and try yanking on that thing to pull it out. I mean, there's no way I'm not going to do that, especially when you know the alternative is going home. So I respect everything Adam did here. I think that he got himself into trouble in the pre-merge. He should have went home 17th, and he made it all the way down to 11th. So I like, I respect what he was able to do. He came out trying everything he could, and here he is. I mean, he did as much as he possibly could. Did he play a great game? No, but he tried everything he could going into an all winter season, knowing that he was going to sell. And I'll tell you what, like, in terms of entertainment value, and I know that Tony's out there and, you know, all these other great personalities are out there, Adam was the most entertaining person in the first 9 episodes of the season. Absolutely, 100%.
And the playing with fire confessional, was that wasn't even about Nick, was it?
It was about himself.
I love that. Absolutely loved that. That was great.
Well, and also what I thought was cool was that Sarah's confessional wasn't about Nick. It was also about Adam. Everything Amazing. That was made to look like was about Nick. They were all about Adam.
Poor Nick is just getting roasted. But again, and that's, and like, Adam is nothing if not self-aware. So there's no one beating Adam up more than himself. So I always like people who are self-aware because they're usually a lot funnier. Like Adam is hilarious because he knows how ridiculous he is.
Absolutely. And I think
and Nick isn't the same type of like hot mess. Like Nick's a different type of hot mess that we're seeing right now, which is also going to be super entertaining. But what, one last point, just because you brought up really early, this felt like the first like real insane episode of the season. It's probably going to keep going that way. And I forget who it was. I think it was Sarah who was saying like, we were all playing so cagey and now it's just like all out in the open. Like now we're just shooting.
And I think we see this all the time on Survivor. If you can make it through one tribal, all of a sudden there's one player who goes so much further than they ever had the right to. Nick Wilson is going to be that player on this season. I really think that Nick and Adam, the one who went home tonight, you know, obviously their game's over, but the other one now has a little bit of time. Because these big threats, because the game is now opened up, and because now it's no longer everybody's not holding their cards so close to the chest. People are now starting to get paranoid. Why are you bringing my name up? Why are you bringing my name up? The alliance going against Adam, Nick, and Michelle is too big. There's eight of them. And now it's 8 versus 2. That's not going to work. And I love Nick losing his mind, being like, I'm not being respected. I'm not any of this. It's the truth. And I think he needs to be saying all these things to kind of wake up the bigger players, because what are they expecting? They're going to vote out Nick, vote out Michelle, and the eight of them are just going to like sing kumbaya around the campfire? Like, I don't understand. And I kind of like that Nick is screaming at them, like, wake up and play the game. And one last point on Adam, and this is the last thing we can say about Adam for a little bit and move off, because we're almost at 10 minutes. But with Adam here, I think what's going to be good for him is when he does get to edge, even though I think they're going to be a little bit nicer to him because obviously he was losing his mind. I really do think that like when Parvati says to him, good try with trying to get the idol there, she's not kidding. Because if you're Ethan, if you're Parvati, even if you're Boston Rob, if you're one of those players, you're not thinking about that kind of thing. Because you're an older school player, and even though you've played with idols and things like that, you've never really seen this insane evolution where somebody was literally just handed a coin today and told flip it. And, you know, like they've never seen that. So for Adam to be thinking that far ahead and be trying to put it to use, I really do think that some of those older school players are going to respect him for it. And then at the end of the day, he's over there now and he can just hang out with all of them. Like he's going to get to hang out with Ethan, Parvati, Boston Rob, Amber, Danny Boatwright, Yule. I would love that. Like if you have to go home, sorry that Wendell has to be there and ruin your good time, but everybody else is there and it's all your heroes from your childhood. So I think it's like for Adam, he wasn't going to win this season just from the way it started off, but he was great TV. He's going to have a really good time over there on Edge of Extinction. I really do believe that with all of those people, and I don't think he has any chance in hell of getting back in the game, but you know what? He's going to sit there for the next 16 days and try. So
he's going to sit there. He's going to find an advantage and he's going to try to sell it to Ben for 10,000 fire tokens.
Yeah, exactly. Which now let's talk about this as we consistently through this coronavirus thing, watch like the economy's on everybody's mind. Let's talk about the economy of Survivor.
Got some inflation.
Yeah, you get a coin for 4 tokens. What do we think about this from Michelle? Should she have bought this for 4 tokens?
Okay, here's the thing. So one, Parvati's a genius or Parvati Danny, whoever came up with it. You absolutely get her for all that she's worth. And I go so many ways here because I do want to talk about that edge scene, which is something I don't often say, but if you're Parvati, you absolutely do that. You charge Michelle all she's got. And everyone knows Michelle's rich. If I'm Michelle, it reminds me of, was it Kellen on Ghost Island who walked away from a thing or walked away from the challenge? Like, you know, Michelle's got she's got a belly full of Chinese food. She's in the best mood she could possibly be in. She did, in case you weren't aware, Phil, get violently blindsided last week, which
I don't know what you're talking about.
Which we'll talk about. She's in a really bad place at that moment in her mind. I think she's got to do it. And also because no one has done anything with fire tokens yet. Mm-hmm. No one's really done anything crazy. So her being really rich almost doesn't mean anything. And that's the purpose. When you have money, you should save a lot of it. I can't even attempt to like make an economic shortcut. Spend all your damn money on a coin flip that will only save you half the time. I kind of like it as an advantage because now I'm just going to segue to your next inevitable question. I'm okay with it as an advantage because it's not a straight up idol. And it's kind of like, okay, you're either exactly where you have been, which is not safe, or you have a half chance of being safe. I'm okay with it. Do I think it's normally worth 4 fire tokens? Absolutely not. In that moment, I completely understand why she did that. What do you think?
Here's my thinking. She's not going to win an immunity challenge, right? Michelle's right. not an immunity challenge threat. She won back in Korong, but at the end of the game, it's her, Aubrey, Ty, Sydney, really good at challenges, but at the same time, like, Sydney had probably gone through the hardest road on that season in terms of starving and losing early and all of that.
Correct.
If I'm looking at my stance as Michelle, you know you're in the minority. You were just left out of a vote. Yes, they're trying to get everything you're worth. But at the same time, you don't know how these opportunities are going to come to you. And something that we know as a viewer that they don't know as a player is that they have the option, who do we want to try to sell this to? But that means, let's say Boston Rob finds something, he's going to try to sell it to Tyson. And if Ethan finds something, he might try to sell it to Jeremy or Tyson. And if Danny finds, there's so many different people you can try to sell it to. Parvati and Danny finding this, and it was Parvati, I mean, I think it came out of Parvati's mouth, where she said, should we try to sell it to Michelle? And Michelle's, and they agreed on it, and we'll talk about that Ed Sheen in a second. But I think you have to buy this because you don't know what other things you could possibly buy with those fire tokens. And maybe Tyson came to them and said, I bought peanut butter. But on that list of options, you already know that peanut butter is an option. Is peanut butter really worth the tokens when you're still in the game? Because you don't need that energy as much as everything else. And plus, you're going to have reward challenges. You're going to give you the opportunity to win something. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have the opportunity to eat and eat and eat. So I think she overpaid for it 100%. But I think that's more on the fact that Parvati was smart enough to say, I'm going to charge you 4 fire tokens for this. Because if Michelle says no to that, maybe Parvati says, well, I'm not going to offer her anything else anymore. And then Michelle doesn't have any opportunities. Now she has a 50-50 chance of being safe the first time she feels like she's being voted out. Before this, she had a 0% chance of being safe when she thought she was being voted out. And 4 fire tokens that could not buy her anything in terms of advantage for the game. So I think we'll know if this was the right move or not when she plays this advantage. And if it lands on safe, 100% the right move. If it lands on not safe, everybody's going to question it the entire offseason.
Yeah, but I don't think that's fair to apply that.
But it's Michelle.
The point is, she bought a coin flip. But you bring up a really good point about the price of advantages anyway. It's set for, I candidly have not looked at the menu, but it sounds like buying a clue to an advantage is a very similar price. So I think for that alone, that's the right call. And going back to the peanut butter, and this goes back to my original point about why Parvati is amazing and I also hate Edge of Extinction in the same sentence. Parvati said, like, that's a big jar of peanut butter. Peanut butter only costs X amount of fire tokens. I can feed all my friends and family with that. Everyone's going to love Parvati for doing that because everyone loved Tyson for doing that. So great move by Parvati. Great move by, I got to say, by Danny Boatwright for figuring that out.
Parvati's beautiful.
That was all Danny. And I loved how the two of them were like, maybe we'll keep it to just us. Maybe we'll play our own thing. And Parvati was like, no, let's tell everybody else. Like, who is season 40 Parvati? She is not the Parvati that I grew up watching. Still love her. I watched that and I was like, oh God, she's not heartless.
It's such a tricky situation because if you're Parvati and you're Danny, Danny figures that out brilliant. Like, love that it was Danny of all people, because that shows, even though Danny didn't play very well on this season, she did her homework and she's name dropping. I think Aubrey stood right over there and she knew. And so then Parvati gets it. So now the two of them found it together. I'm assuming that Parvati and her are probably going to split those tokens and everybody else isn't going to get tokens. They're just going to get peanut butter from whatever ends up happening, you know, like from however much they end up having to spend, and then Danny and Parvati will keep the rest of them. But it's such a tricky situation because you don't want to tell people, but then again, this is the problem with Edge of Extinction. You don't need to be sneaky on Edge of Extinction. You don't need to be. And so you don't want to tell people, but then also, like, that's just bad jury management in case you get back in the game. So you might as well tell them. You have nothing to lose. Again, like, Michelle has nothing to lose really by buying this because now she's got a 50-50 chance to be safe the first time she feels unsafe. Parvati now, by telling everybody, and Danny by telling everybody, if they get back in the game, they're securing votes. So there's no reason not to tell, even though in your mind, Survivor has always taught you don't tell, because that's the point of the game of Survivor. So that always is going to go back to me complaining about Edge of Extinction, which doesn't need to happen, because I actually thought this was a pretty cool twist, especially to bring in past seasons and things like that. But it's just good jury management. If you're going to get back in the game, they're all going to be like, oh, remember when she selflessly gave everything up so she could get us peanut butter, which isn't the truth, but is what everybody's going to think.
I mean, sure didn't work for Sarah, who actually selflessly did that, which you never hear. You never hear that from someone like Sarah. And the thing that sucks about this game, or not sucks about the game, but Tony worded it perfectly. Tony was like, how dare you be a good person right now? Like, how, that is not how you play this game. My brother made a really good point. He was like, it doesn't matter if that was strategic or not, or actually from the goodness of her heart. People are going to talk about her now. Mm-hmm. I think, I can't fault her, because I know that I would probably do something super similar. But, I mean, that's like, I don't think it's really why her name came up. I think it's more of like another drop in the bucket. But mm-hmm. I mean, every single name was mentioned tonight except for Sophie, Denise, and Jeremy. Pretty damn impressive for Sophie, Denise, and Jeremy.
Especially Jeremy, and we'll talk about him in a second. But I think going back to this Sarah thing, I've always said this on this podcast. Bad shoulders, anything that involves shoulders and hanging out there, or you can sit out for food, I would be talking about my bad shoulders the entire season, because I would want them to know. Now, if this was Angelina, everybody would still see through it because it's Angelina. But if this was Angelina, she's a known vegetarian. If there's no vegetarian option, you say, I'm going to give this up because I'm not going to eat. Nora, same thing. Going to eat, give it up. But Sarah isn't a vegetarian. And so by her doing this, even though it's Nick, it looks to everybody else, and I believe Sarah that she did this selflessly. This much. I believe her this much, Alexa. Because Nick was left out. And Sarah, just like she did on Game Changers, made sure every single person felt like they were her friend. And then even when she had to backstab them, it was still like, oh, well, it was probably somebody else's idea, not Sarah's. So I'll still vote for Sarah at the end. Sarah's doing this for management over Nick, who she thinks is going home very soon. Very high chance. Go ahead.
So I normally, like, I know that this is Sarah's game, but why would she tell us that it was out of the goodness of her heart? Is she playing me too?
She could be. And my thinking would be these players, and we heard this from Lex Vandenberg and a couple other people, but, you know, like, it's not so much that, like, the producers are navigating things, like, trying to push their storyline or anything like that, but the producer could definitely turn around and ask Adam, what do you think about Sarah giving that up for Nick? That's strategic, right? But if she is telling the producers, I did this selflessly, she's kind of playing the producers so that they can't ask. They can still ask leading questions, but they can't ask as leading of a question because they don't have any dirt on her. They can't say, do you, like, Sarah did this, you know, as part of the game, right? Like, they have to ask it differently because she's telling them, I did this selflessly. And that's getting a little too far into, like, how the producers play a role, but the producers do play a role. Well, isn't that, not a bad one, but there is.
Wasn't that Danny's whole strategy, pretty much?
That was Danny's whole strategy.
Okay. Then that's a damn good play, because that's impressive.
Sunday Burquest, Soda Pop Sunday, is in our chat and just said, I think Sarah would have said it was gameplay in her confessional.
You keep talking, because I'm going to listen to this, because Sunday just messaged us, but you keep going.
Oh, okay, cool. I do think that, you know, most of the time I would say yes, if whatever they're telling us, it kind of goes back to Todd Herzog back in China, the miscarriage situation. And he's telling us, this is real. I want this nothing to do with anything. This is real. And so we believe him, and we know that's not gameplay because that's that situation. But because this is Winners at War, and also because, like, Sarah, I don't know how, like, the producers feel about Sarah. I don't know anything. Sarah knows how the producers feel about Sarah. They know who's being considered, you know, the best. I love the sad face here. She knows how they feel about her. And so maybe she's saying to herself, you know what, in a season like this, I don't want to give anything away to any of the 30 people on the beach. I'm not just worried about the 10 other people. I'm worried about the 20 other producers who are out there too. I don't want to tell anybody anything. I think it's good gameplay. And you know what? The only way you're ever going to know is when she does post-game press and we actually talk to her. But I think that, you know, from Sarah's point of view, I think it was still gameplay. I really do.
So I do agree with that. Now the question is, do you think it was the right move? Because I don't think it was.
No, I think it was bad.
No matter what, again, no matter how you intend it, people are going to talk about you. And she was the first thing that came up, and then it all snowballed. But you don't want people talking about you.
But here's another thing too. And anybody who didn't listen to our James Lynn predictions, the first like 40 minutes is just about Survivor. It's not really like power ranking. So go listen to it if you want to just hear. James was a fantastic guest. He was just awesome the entire time, giving really great knowledge. I mean, go listen to what James has to say. But James kept calling Tony the sage. And what's so funny to me is that it's Tony who brings Sarah aside on the beach as soon as they get back, sits down next to her and says, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And she got caught up in the moment, as he would say. And you feel bad for her. You don't feel bad for her, but it's interesting how Tony is sitting there being like, "Sarah, what are you doing?" Being the voice of reason when he was screaming llama at a woman just 12 seasons ago. It's pretty remarkable, the growth of Tony that we've seen on this season. And I think he was spot on, though. You're giving people a reason. You're giving people an idea to put your name in their mouth. That's a problem. Yeah. You don't want that.
Absolutely. And quick sidebar, because Sunday did join us. So hi, Sunday. Thanks for coming in. She just messaged us on Twitter her reaction to Adam getting voted out, which was extremely sad, and then brought up the fantastic point that she predicted in our Winners at War, what do we call these? Winner retrospectives?
Yeah.
That Adam was going to do the merge boot. She was one vote off. Fantastic foresight, Sunday. Sad, very sad, but really good guess. And you have Kim Spradlin being the winner. Not horrible.
Not Kim great. Looked pretty good tonight.
Kim's boosting her resume. She's got an immunity necklace and an idol. And God, if you need the immunity necklace any night, tonight was that night.
Yeah, you just want to have
a big night that someone like Kim could have gone home.
Yeah, it could have been something like a stray bullet. And I was actually talking to Will before, like while the episode was going on. And he said to me, he's like, "Who do you think is going to go home?" And I said, "I think it's Adam with an outside shot of Tyson." And he said, "No, it's got to be Adam or Nick." And I said, "I'm not worried for Nick at all, because Adam has been squirrely the entire season. They've been ready to vote out Adam for a long time. They're not going to vote out Nick before they vote out Adam. But if something crazy happens, you get a stray bullet on Tyson to get rid of somebody who's a big jury threat. And also just a very good Survivor player." And I was kind of thinking, even as the tribal council was going, I was like, man, could Tyson possibly get a stray bullet here? Because he didn't move that entire tribal. And I think that was really awesome, because it shows like the difference of the old school and new school. I think the last time Tyson played, even, nobody was getting up and walking around tribal councils to make live tribals. His first time, they definitely weren't. Tyson was just pointing at people, telling him he loved them, except for Sierra. So, like, I think that, you know, it shows the old school mentality. He's just sitting there and he's staring at the jury the entire time. I don't know if anybody else caught that, but he was literally just looking at the jury, and he was even like opening his eyes and like shrugging and doing it. He was playing it up to the jury, who's watching all the new schoolers go absolutely insane, while he just sat there with his legs crossed. Like, "I don't even need to move, 'cause I know I'm safe." I was starting to get worried his confidence, 'cause this is when Tyson goes home. When he's cocky twice, he's been super confident, gets voted out. This season, he wasn't super confident, but still got voted out. I was starting to worry that he was going to be insanely confident and he was going to get voted out again. But actually, his confidence is working, because like he said, they forget to say your name.
Exactly. Yeah. And really quick sidebar. We forced Sunday into saying Kim. She said Kim or Jeremy, but because we shamed her into only being allowed to pick one, I think she went with Kim. We'll have to re-listen back to that. But you're totally right. When Tyson says, like, when there's chaos, no one really thinks about him. And I thought he could get the stray bullet. I thought Sophie could get hit. I figured it was going to be, especially with the way that it ended, I thought it was definitely going to be Adam. But I thought it could, Michelle could have gotten the hit, because they kept talking about Michelle, Nick, and Adam. And I was like, Nick might be too obvious. Are they really going to hit Michelle after she blows all her money on this thing, doesn't end up happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally insane. My favorite thing, and this is like, this is why Jeremy's so good. Jeremy's reactions to everything are so funny. Like him in the challenge, just like making all these crazy noises. Every single time someone came with another name, he was like, are you freaking kidding me? We're going back at this again. Jeremy's been fantastic.
Jeremy's fantastic.
I guess I was going to say, I'm surprised. I was briefly surprised that Jeremy didn't ditch, but he wasn't going to be the stray bullet.
He knew he wasn't going to get any votes. If you notice too, and we talk about this a lot, he sat on his bench the entire time and every single person came to him.
Exactly. And that's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do. I mean, that was when Rob was his most comfortable on his drive, was when he was just playing that game and everybody came to him. And so everybody's coming to Jeremy and you'd be like, you want to vote this person? He just starts laughing because it's like, are you kidding me? You're really going to change it again? Like, what do you want me to do? And I think it just, again, goes back to the strength of Jeremy's game. He's an unbelievably strong player socially. And if you notice, the first person Michelle goes to at Tribal when she gets up, when she gets up, she goes to Jeremy. And Jeremy just voted, like, blindsided her last week, and yet she goes right to Jeremy. And if you notice, her and Jeremy are kind of sitting there talking on the bench because in the beginning of the game, they were close. And I just think it shows, like, Jeremy, even when he blindsides you, has the ability to still make you feel comfortable enough that you can work with him. And it's an unbelievable talent to have. And he really is, and I know these are all winners, but he's really one of the few who has it all the time. Like, he always has that ability, it seems like. No matter who he screws over, it's still they're going to vote. You know, they still feel like they can trust you the next week, which is unbelievable.
It's crazy. It's amazing how he does it.
Yeah. So let's talk about the reward. Why do you think they didn't pick Denise?
I don't know. I always wish that they show that, but yeah, I don't know. I never know how to read into that. The two teams were split pretty evenly. Like, I think they were picked pretty well, but you having Sophie on the puzzle, you're going to win the puzzle.
Yeah, it was Sophie Michelle who won the puzzle against Jeremy and Nick. And Nick cannot win a puzzle this season. Like, Nick is just, I feel like he's getting smoked in every puzzle.
And I thought it was interesting because Kim, and one thing that was funny is, like, when you were talking about earlier, like, it's not that easy where it's just like, let's vote out Nick and then we're going to vote out Michelle and we're going to be a big happy eight. Like, you see the fire in Kim's eyes. She's like, guys, I could just finally control this vote. Like, let me take over. But then she calls Nick a challenge threat. And I was like, what?
He's been pretty good in the challenges, though. He has this.
He has been.
He made it to the final round of the immunity challenge, which I was impressed with. And he was up there with, you know, he was memeing himself up there on the pole next to Jeremy, the last two standing.
Oh, those
and
memes
the other
have
one.
Been
so,
unreal.
And he's still, see, I think what's helping Nick is he's still so much younger than a lot of the rest of the cast that even though he's not in as good of shape, just being younger is going to make it easier on your body, I think.
That's true.
Which he's been able to do. But something else I think that is really, really important to talk about, because you were talking about Kim a little bit and I kind of glossed over it, but Kim and Sophie, both of them have idols. Neither one of them have even had to mention playing their idol, and nobody has brought their names up. Nobody's trying to vote out Sophie. Nobody's trying to vote out Kim. Even Michelle and Nick and Adam, when they're trying to come up with names, none of them are saying Sophie or Kim, and they both have idols. And, you know, again, that goes back to the social game. We didn't really hear too much from Sophie tonight, so I don't know, you know, like, where she was in this whole mix, but we see her trying to calm down Adam. We see her trying to calm down Michelle. We see her just being like, this is ridiculous. Every time I turn around, it's a different name. But she's still got her fingers so much in it that she doesn't even have to have that confessional of, maybe I'll have to play my idol tonight. And Kim hasn't either. So I just think that's really amazing that the two of them, you know, with idols, in an era of Survivor where conversations always surround idols, we're not hearing about their idols at all.
Not at all. Yeah, they're going to hang up. I mean, next week it sounds like Sophie might have to play that, but if they're trying to split up Sophie and Sarah, Sarah's got an advantage too. So, and we're seeing it, like, Sarah and Ben are tight too. So that three is wicked tight. And having three in a group of 10, like, that's obviously a minority, but that's a tight, tight three. And Kim's with them. Denise is with them. I think since Adam is gone, Denise is, like, has no tie to him. The only thing that's tough about the game only really, really cranking up right now is that I know that those two are tight, Sophie, Ben, and Sarah. But like Denise and Kim are tight. But how close are they? And where does Jeremy fit in? And so I'm still like kind of unsure, but I think they're also pretty unsure too.
And one thing that kind of sucks about this final 10 and the game just ramping up now is that we know after the next four people are voted out, somebody's going to come back into the game. And so like, even though there's chaos that's about to go on, how much is that chaos just going to be upended because of somebody returning? And is it going to be one of the people who goes home? Is Tyson going to get voted out and come back in again? Like, there's just so much more that goes into a season like this because Edge of Extinction is there that we're watching the game really start to take shape. But you still have to keep in mind, Michelle can only play her coin up until final seven. After she plays that coin, she can make it to final six and not get voted out, then get to final five. Somebody comes back into the game, makes it final six again. She doesn't have her coin anymore, and that person could come in and just upend and decide to align with the two people who are on the bottom or something, or could be somebody Michelle. Like, it's very weird how, like, advantages die off sooner. I don't know when Jeremy's dies off. But
someone in the chat mentioned next week is his last week.
That seems too early.
It seems early. I wouldn't be mad about it. But yeah, I mean, if that's the case, then he's definitely playing it.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, that seems too early in the season for him to have to use it. I feel like it would be something like final eight, final nine, final something. But I mean, where do you see this taking shape now? Do we think that Nick and Michelle are going to be the simple next two boots, or are people going to try to pull Nick and Michelle in? Because now you have so few hyenas left, as Tony calls them. Why keep getting rid of the hyenas when you're going to have too many lions left? And then it's just going to be the hyena of the lions ends up winning the game. Like, Sophie, to me, it's amazing that nobody is considering her to be one of the hyenas despite her first game. But if I'm looking at it from my perspective, she's the hyena of the lions. Like, she's definitely the one who could be like, well, let's vote out Tony. He'd beat us all. Let's vote out Jeremy. He'd beat us all. Let's vote out Kim. And then all of a sudden you have a final three. That's Denise, Sophie, and I don't know, Ben. And all of a sudden we sit there and we go, how were they not considered hyenas? They still got rid of all of the threats that were just bigger than them and sat in the final three because nobody looked at them as Nick, Michelle, and Adam levels. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, I think people are going to try to, well, it depends. I think Tony, Sarah, Ben, and Sophie are not going to be going for Michelle and Nick because they have each other. That because Tony doesn't want them. Ben was really only tied to Adam. I don't, like, Ben and Michelle don't really seem to be working together too much. There's those four, but then I think, I mean, Jeremy wanted to work with Nick. Like, people are like, oh, Nick's desperate. I can get his vote. So I think some people are now going to look at Michelle and Nick in that way. And then that main group of four that I just mentioned, I don't think they're really going to go to try to work with them.
Yeah, I it's going to, this next episode is going to shape, I think, the rest of the season, because like Jeremy wants to separate Sophie and Sarah. They both have advantages. If they play them and Jeremy goes home, I think that like the Jeremy, Tony, Tyson alliance and Ben, they're in a lot of trouble. And I think the other six probably have a better chance, even though Nick and Michelle aren't really in that other six. Because they're aligned with people who have so many advantages. And now Michelle also has an advantage. So Michelle, Kim, who has advantages? Michelle, Kim, Sophie, Sarah. Jeremy has his, which it does look like he can only play up till final 10. So that means he has to play it next week. Those five, are we missing anything? I guess Denise doesn't have anything. Ben doesn't have anything.
Tony, so half the cast has something.
Yeah, so half the cast has something. And half of that cast, I could see working together and then pulling in Nick or something along those lines. You know what I mean? Like, it's I don't know.
Exactly.
This is going to be a very – next week's going to be a very good episode. I'm really curious to see where the chaos is going to land and, like – I feel like next week's probably our straight bullet week where like Adam was, everybody wanted to get behind Adam, Wendell, everybody wanted to get behind Wendell. And next week kind of feels like that one where somebody's going to be sitting there going, huh, how did that happen to me? I thought I was in a great position.
Right. And that's the thing. Nick was the, you know, poor Nick is continually an easy vote. The difference between Nick and Adam is Nick is whatever. an easy vote that people wanted to work with. Adam, people did not so much want to work with. So now that he's gone, there's some interest in working with kind of everybody. So it's going to make it a total disaster, and I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a total disaster. So after that, after the immunity challenge ended and Kim won it, it was Kim versus Ben at the very end. What were you thinking at that moment? Were you just thinking like Adam's going? Because like we got a really long, or at least it felt pretty long, like pre-tribal. We got like a half hour of pre-tribal and tribal council, which seems pretty long. Like I know they've been doing that a little bit more, but it was like 8:30. And then we were already going to the post immunity challenge. Were you like thinking that something insane was going to happen, or were you kind of just sold it's Adam and this is what it is?
I wasn't expecting a live tribal, but I was expecting something nuts because Adam had talked to Michelle about that idol. And so when they started walking tribal council, I was like, it's definitely Adam. However, in my mind, that was an idol. So I was like, he's going to pluck that idol and then maybe Jeremy's going to ditch and then they have to completely redo everything, which would have been amazing.
And I knew that Adam, see, this is where I kind of figured Adam was in trouble because they actually showed it in the episode. Like, you know what I mean? Like they showed when he was talking to Michelle, he's like, I think that thing, it looks like a fleur-de-lis. And he was saying that to her, and then they actually showed it on the podium so that we as an audience knew what he was talking about. And that kind of tipped me off that, like, Adam is going to have to try to grab that, and he's going to try to grab. Like, I could feel that coming the entire episode. Like, he's going to try to do that. Now, whether it was a real idol or not, I didn't know because it did look just like one of the idols. I thought maybe that would be a little too obvious because maybe they would hide it up by the actual voting, but down there, not so much. But you could see like the smile on Jeff's face there. And even when Adam said you had to try and Jeff said always, like that's a respect thing. And from the rumors and speculation that were going on before the season began, Adam was supposedly a very last second add to this cast. And I think, like, Jeff 100% sits there when Adam does that and says, thank goodness we brought Adam back. Like, thank goodness we did this. Because that's what you want from your players. You want your players thinking on that cerebral level and just going for it. Just do it. So I really loved what he did. But I really felt like Adam's in super big trouble here because there's no way he's going to try to pull that unless he knows he's going home. And as an audience, we're being told like, this is what you should be looking at. So,
yeah. And that's a really good point because what we were saying is we were like, well, how do you get it? So you can only go for that if you're immediately going to play it. Mm-hmm. And my next point was that nobody, I think if you get all 40 winners back, maybe one other winner looks at that and thinks it's an idol. Nobody else does that. I think maybe you get Dominic there. I think maybe just because like, Dominic didn't win. Exactly. So there's your first problem there, but you always see, and that was like the thing. You always see Adam looking around, looking at the tribal council set. Nobody else was doing that. So that's the value you get when you put Adam on a season.
Absolutely. And I think like, you know, I read a lot of the EW, Gordon Holmes, RHAP, Johnny Fairplay. You listen to this stuff. You read this stuff. You read Wiggler's interviews. You know, all of these things, Mike Bloom, everything that comes out, they always talk about, yeah, there's a possibility one day we might hide an idol at Tribal Council. They were talking about doing it seasons ago. Adam reads all this stuff because Adam, despite the fact that Adam Klein won Survivor, Adam Klein is still one of the, if not the biggest Survivor fan out there. Like, just because he won, his love of, so many people say, like, once you play it, your love of the game might go down or kind of skews what you had in your mind. Adam loves this game so much. He's reading all of that stuff, and he's saying to himself, this is all winners, Edge of Extinction, fire tokens, you know, whatever other advantage, idols split in half. Why not be an idol there at Tribal? And I'm telling you, if you're on season 41 or season 42, you better have your eyes open at Tribal Council because there's a good chance it's going to be where Jeff put it, or it's just going to be up by the voting professional something, because the amount of joy Jeff got from trolling Adam there, and I'm using like quote air quotes.
Oh, he was trolling.
He was trolling, But I also feel like there was like a hint of respect to like, you're really going to try to play my podium. Like that's what you're gonna do. But then it's also Jeff and his producer mind saying, should people be allowed to play my podium? Like, did Adam just give us an idea? Do you know what I mean though? Like, yeah. I almost feel like Adam kind of just gave them an idea, and you're 100% right though. You're only playing that if you know you're going home. And I also think that's why Adam was so much more aggressive at this tribal council, because I think he knew he was going home, but I think he wanted to 100% confirm it, because when he got up, every single person who was still in the game was like, Oh no, this is not good. Like they all were terrified when that happened.
All right. Who is MVP?
Gosh, that's an impossible question. Like, okay.
Kim, because she wins immunity.
I'm going to say this is probably not right, but I've just fallen so in love with him. I'm going to say Jeremy. And my reasoning is going to be just because as all of this craziness was going on, Jeremy just sat there and everybody came to him. And I think that like there was nobody who really made the great move this week. There was nobody who really like was in control of this. This felt so out of control. And I feel like Adam was such an easy vote for so many people that there wasn't that much strategy. But I feel like for me, I would say Jeremy just because everybody's coming to him. And I think that's an incredible skill to have. Although Tony, a lot of people are saying Tony in the chat, and Tony still has not had a vote cast for him. And there are half of the cast is gone, and Tony has not had a vote cast for him.
Like that what alone makes Tony the MVP.
He's MVP of the season, even if he gets voted out next, because he went through 10 people, 11 people really, because Tyson got voted out, 11 people being voted out and him not getting a single vote. That is absurd.
It's absurd. And the lions and the hyena thing keeps going. So I'm really curious to see like where that nets out. Like, do the hyenas eat him or does he take down all the hyenas? I don't know.
Or does he get to the end and sit next to two hyenas? You know what I mean? Does he actually get what he wants? And then maybe it's the whole argument of maybe they played a better game than you this time because you didn't have to do it. Like, he's not as crazy as it sounds. I'm going to get shit on for this, but I love Tony, but he's not doing anything.
He doesn't have. Yeah. He's not doing anything. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, God, is that what it takes to win? That's amazing.
And what's awesome, what I think is fascinating is like Tony, by Tony doing nothing, it's actually the cause for him to get more confessionals and to get screen time because he's doing nothing, because it's so rare. Whereas if Sophie was doing nothing, she would get no screen time because it wouldn't be a storyline. But Tony doing nothing is actually a storyline, which is amazing. Like, that is fascinating to me that in season 40 of Survivor, doing nothing by a player can actually be a storyline. It's awesome.
It's fantastic. It's so
who would you say for MVP? You kind of said Kim, but who are you thinking?
I think you make a good point with Jeremy. I think I was going to say Sarah, but I don't think that makes any sense. I think you could give it to Tyson, because it was Tyson's original idea to get rid of Adam, and his reasoning was spot on. He watched Adam just convince a bunch of people to vote out Sarah, and Tyson dropped Adam's name, which was the correct vote, and then walked away and wasn't ever heard from since.
Yeah.
So I think there's a bunch of arguments we can make. I think Tony, Jeremy, Tyson, I think there's a lot of good people there. But that was
the first player I lost that I actually spent any of my draft dollars on. The only one I had lost before that was Boston Rob. So Adam, sorry, I get the hiccups. Adam is the first player I lose who I actually spent anything on. So feeling pretty good about that, especially since I spent 10 less than you spent on Parvati, 20 less than Vaughn spent on Danny, and 80 less than Robert spent on Ethan. So you know what, Adam? You did your job, man. You got me the points I needed from you. I'm more than pleased, but I have Michelle, Nick, and Kim, so I kind of hope the hyenas are able to overcome, because otherwise my team is screwed.
Yeah, your team could be in some trouble. I mean, Kim's looking pretty good right now, but yeah, this is shaping up to be real interesting. I'm super, super excited for next week. Very glad that Sarah stayed tonight, because our guest this weekend is – he's coming in at a great time. So because Sunday is Easter, we're having our predictions one day earlier. We're having them this Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And for those of you who listen to our Winners at War retrospectives, one of our favorite ones, and honestly, the biggest surprise, one of the last ones we scheduled because we just slid into his DMs pretty late. We were talking to David Samson of Survivor Cagayan first person voted out is Ravi Kagyan, but he and Tony and Sarah are very, very close. He spoke very highly of the two of them when we did our winter retrospective with him. And he is just a fantastic guest. We are super excited to talk to him. You guys are really in for a treat.
Yeah, David's going to be so much fun to talk to here, especially since Tony and Sarah are both still in the game and they're kind of working together and they're correcting each other in this like brother-sister type relationship. I love it. And it'll just be good to hear from somebody who has like a pulse on the sports world as we all sit here and wait for sports. I love that.
Please, so. Please give us good news about sports.
but yeah, this is going to be a good one. And I love we started off with Chris Underwood. That was our first guest. Winner of his season. We're now going to David Sampson, who was the first boot on his season. But then we had James Lim last week. And like the thing about Survivor players that I find so fascinating is that no matter what place they got, they all tell a great story. And like 95% of them freaking love Survivor. And David Sampson is one of those guys. I'm telling you, if you didn't listen to the James predictions and power rankings, go listen to the first 40 minutes of that episode and tell me the guy who got 14th place on Survivor Ghost Island doesn't love Survivor and pay attention to this stuff like it's his job. And yeah, I'm so excited for this David one. I think it's going to be really fun. And I can't wait to hear his take on this transformation of Tony.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. It's going to be great. And last thing, because I completely missed this. Did Tony say Moomint?
No, Moomint. Remember, I was saying that I said that earlier. I said Moomint. He had his Moomint. He kept saying Moomint for some reason. And anybody who's saying that's a Jersey accent, no, it isn't.
I've never heard someone say that.
I lived in New Jersey for 23 years. That is not a New Jersey accent. That is Tony. That is just Tony speaking and it coming out that way. Natalie and Michelle are also from New Jersey. When they say Moomint, they say Moomint. I'm from New Jersey. I say Moomint. I don't know what that was, but it was hilarious. Last thing we should probably end with this week, Alexa, you said you were going to sing us out. You said you were going to sing the song to get us out of the podcast instead of doing the recap. So go ahead. Winners at War, Survivor, continue, Alexa.
Did I say that? Is it going to be that weird Winners at War song? Because I am not pleased about it. James, to go on the record, James Lim is into it. I said, as a fair trade, don't put it in challenges. Why don't you make it an intro song?
Yeah.
About that. Great intro song, terrible song. I don't know if I can sing.
It feels weird in the challenges. And I've noticed this. I've noticed this a lot because like I'm watching Africa right now, which by the way, anybody who hasn't watched Africa in a long time, that pre-merge might be the best pre-merge like in the history. Like other than Heroes Villains, Africa might be my second favorite pre-merge. I just have to say, it's incredible. And knowing that Samburu is going to get their shit handed to them makes that pre-merge epic. It's so incredible. But like watching Africa, they use like real nature sounds and like whatever. And like even as Survivor has evolved, the one thing that has always felt, you know, consistent is that Survivor is like the sounds of like nature or tribal sounds, or, you know, we get that music with like the boom, 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 like whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you get all this stuff. This feels so overproduced, and it's such a minor thing because at the end of the day, who really cares? But it's like, it just feels so weird to be coming because I'm like, that can't be a noise that could possibly be made in Fiji. Like, where is that coming from? And like, I like to believe, like when I'm watching Survivor, I like to believe like we are on the island with these people. And even though, as James Lim calls it, the nature documentary of season one, even though we're not really watching a nature documentary anymore, it still feels kind of good to feel like it's authentic, starving on an island, voting each other out. And that just feels like it's coming out of nowhere. Then again, who really cares? It's just there, and it's only going to be in this season because it literally says the words, winners at war, I'm ready for more, or something like that. So,
could you imagine if season 41 walks out and they just put the exact same
song? Right? Winners at war. Sorry, we couldn't get anybody to do music.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess last two things. One, when I think of the Africa pre-merge, the only image that comes to mind is the fact that they shot a cow with an arrow and then Linda
drank its blood.
Chugged its blood, which is just mind boggling. And then, I had something about that song, but I'm totally, what do you think that woman who sang that song is like doing right now? Like, do you think like she has some credit somewhere? She's like, oh guys, I sang the Winners at War theme song that was only used in some challenges.
I mean, just as somebody who worked on the production side or on the, like, the business side of TV shows for a little bit, I like would look at those budgets and you can see how much money everybody makes. She's probably making a pretty penny anytime that comes in. And a lot of people are saying they think it's Sia. If it's Sia, it's kind of just Sia being able to like get her sound in there. And like, she loves Survivor, so why not do something special for this? We've seen her kind of become a bigger part of the community. A lot of people think that's who it is. So, I don't know.
I gotta re-listen to it. I guess she does have a good wide-ranging voice. Okay, I kind of like this theory. I will now re-listen to that song more than any one person should.
And I'm gonna go watch episode 6 of Survivor Africa. And I want to tell everybody,
this is like prime Lindsay time. I love Lindsay.
Oh, prime Lindsay. Anybody who hasn't watched Africa ever, go watch Survivor Africa immediately, because it really is so good. And that's when Survivor starts to feel like Survivor, where there's so much strategy and stuff. And that pre-merge, like, I'm watching it with people who have never seen Survivor Africa before. And the smile I get on my face as Silas and Lindsay come back to camp screaming at T-Bird because she voted for Silas. The joy you get on your face because you know what's coming is just, oh, it's the best. Episode 5 of Survivor Africa might be a top 10 episode of Survivor ever. Hit me, guys. Scream at me on Twitter.
It is. But Africa's so good because they play with the – because back when, like, how many votes you had against your name really mattered, they play with that so much, and it's so good. But
it's amazing. Yeah, that's the best of, like, those first 5 seasons, I'm starting to think that's my favorite. I think I've normally said Australia, but I just watched Australia, and Africa kind of holds up a little bit better. And it's really, really good. So
yeah. Ugh,
love it.
What a great one.
Love it.
Anyways, as we mentioned, we will be back this Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time talking to David Samson for next week's predictions and power rankings. Tonight is Passover, so for those who are celebrating Passover, I hope that you are enjoying it either by yourself or in a group that is with less than 5 people. For those who celebrate Easter on Sunday, happy early Easter. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, subscribe to us on YouTube, rate us 5 stars on iTunes, because once in a while people write some really mean things. And we'll be back on Saturday. Everyone have a wonderful evening.
You're closing it.
I can't believe
Adam got voted off on Passover.